Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McCray. This week, our topic is building client relationships, and we have four great segments for you today. Our first two segments focus on building relationships before the sale, and our other two focus on keeping those customer relationships alive. So we'll start first with Steve Rusinski, who's going to talk to us a little about controlling your ego in order to focus on the client's needs. Steve?
Hi, this is Steve Rusinski of the Small Business CEO weblog, which you can find at www.smbceo.com. The topic today is building client relationships. A few years ago, before I started my own business, a friend and I set out on a research project. We wanted to know why some people could make an effective relationship with someone very rapidly, and yet others would take much more time, and sometimes they would never get to the point of having a good relationship with another person. We were doing this study in the context of selling. Why would some people get to a trusting relationship quickly and therefore have a higher likelihood of sales success? Of course, we felt that trust was the key to a successful sale of anything that is complex and expensive. We felt if trust could be developed quickly, we could shorten our sales cycle and achieve success for our business. We must have read at least 20 books on selling, from Tom Hopkins to Selling with Soul. But the book that really turned on the light bulb for us was a book by a man called Mahan Khalsa, called Let's Get Real, The Demise of Dysfunctional Selling and the Advent of Helping Clients Succeed. This book was a real eye-opener. It didn't focus much on tactics or tricks or manipulation or mind control. It focused on serving others first, letting go of your ego and focusing on what you want, and instead focusing on what the clients want and serving them. Easy to say, but tough to do. We all have egos, and we all need to pay our bills. We then set out to spend some time with some of the most successful salespeople we knew, and sure enough, every one of them had a pretty low ego and a very strong service orientation. They were passionate about doing anything to help clients. In fact, they were just passionate about helping others, clients or not. They just had a natural service orientation. Prospects can smell your intent. Just saying it's a sales call outlines the intent that you are there to do something to them. At least that's how most prospects feel. Your intent to serve must be true or prospects will know it. Think about how you feel when someone is trying to sell you, or even trying to become a friend. You can sense when they are being self-serving. That sensing of that is built into us. When we sense selfishness on the part of someone else, we close off. We certainly don't trust that person. Ego is an important thing, though. It helps us to do things to get our needs met. But how do we convince our ego that our needs will be better met by serving the needs of others? It's not easy to check our egos at the door. The key point I am making is that just being aware that our ego is there provides us the chance to set it aside and focus on the other person. If you can do that, you can then be fearless and totally other person-oriented, but it takes practice and focus. This is not to say that technique and process is not important in sales or any relationship development, but it won't matter if your ego gets in the way and you removes your ability to have true service intent. We then set out to put this principle to work. Of course, we thought we were naturally service-oriented, but putting it to practice just confirmed our belief. Sure enough, we started to have some great success. We had senior executives giving us 2 to 3 hours at a crack based off cold calls and cold appointments we set. You know, I could go on, but I won't. I just urge you to get this book, check out the website, and the audio chapters, literally the book is there for free and well worth listening to. Go to www.franklincovey.com/letsgetreal/media.html to learn more about improving your business relationships by controlling your ego and focusing on helping others succeed. That link, again, is in my show notes. So go back to the Great Big Small Business Show, and you'll be able to get those show notes and see that link if you weren't able to capture it. Thanks. This is Steve Rusinski from the Small Business CEO weblog. Have a great week.
Thanks, Steve. Next up, I get to talk a little bit about one of my favorite ways of building relationships, and that is by layering. It's a process of giving your clients information in small chunks rather than big, overwhelming pieces of information. Instead of giving them the whole story and every detail about it, the goal of layering is to break it into bite-sized pieces and offer your clients just what they want to know right now. Nobody knows more about your products, your services, or your business than you do. But your goal is not to educate your client or to teach them everything there is to know. Your goal is to build a relationship, and that's a much more subtle process of answering questions as they come up, maybe anticipating what comes next, but only offering information in digestible, bite-sized chunks as that person wants to know. It's part of a natural relationship-building process. Because the truth of the matter is, as you're building an initial relationship, that client will come back later with more questions. I like to think of it like painting or varnishing. You get better results by doing lots of thin layers instead of applying just one thick coat. Layering is not just a process, it is also a mindset. If you think in terms of layering information, then you're more likely to give people space. You give them time to think about what you've just told them. It also kind of gives you some perspective on how people react to you. You're less likely to be disappointed when someone doesn't give you an instant commitment on a relationship in a business way. You know that you have added another layer, and adding another layer is valuable even if you didn't make an immediate sale. Now, you don't want to carry it so far that you never ask for the sale or you never try to close. It's like most other skills, it just requires a balance. A second benefit of the mindset is a tolerance for repetition. Lots of times when you're building relationships, those clients will come back and ask you the same question or a similar question, or they just don't remember something that you told them. So it's helpful to think of that as part of the layering process. Sometimes you have to go back when you're painting and fill in those gaps. So, just to wrap it all up, when you talk with a customer or a potential customer, when you're working on building a relationship, remember that each time you talk to them, add a new layer to their understanding. If they walk off without closing the deal, remember that you have added another layer, and it may take a few more layers to get to the finished product, but it's all part of the process, and it's all part of the mindset. So that's my advice on dealing with client relationships. Our next presentation is going to move to the subject of keeping relationships going after you've made an initial sale. And Heidi Miller has 8 tips to help keep those client relationships alive after the first sale.
This is Heidi Miller, shameless self-promoter and corporate spokesperson for hire, coming to you live from Podcast Expo, talking about building client relationships. Now, I had a client recently that was unusual in one respect. I didn't have to sell them on the idea of using a speaker in the booth. Apparently, they've always used speakers for their live demonstrations. So, of course, the question on my mind was, why aren't you using the speaker from your last show? After all, most clients don't bother to shop around year after year once they've found a face, voice, and personality that they feel appropriately reflects their company message. They tend to use the same presenter each time. So what was it? My fabulous marketing materials? My bouncy, shiny hair? My scintillating wit and personality? Maybe the other presenter disappointed in some way. Maybe they couldn't live without a presenter who was also a cool podcaster. So at dinner the other night, I asked the client, hoping for some marketing insight. Oh, we couldn't find her, was the reply. The show only occurs every 3 years, and they'd lost her info. A Google search on her name didn't turn her up, so they had no way of locating her. So they started a new Google search for trade show presenter instead and ended up finding me. Now, her loss is my gain, but what a lesson for us self-promoters. It constantly amazes me that most people in my line of work don't bother to keep in touch with their clients over the months or years, but rather wait to be called. Many don't even send so much as a thank you note after a show, a Christmas card, catch-up email every 6 months, nothing. So, Here are 8 simple tips for relationship building for shameless self-promoters so that your client doesn't end up calling me or whomever your competition is instead of you. Number 1, send a handwritten thank you note after every show, gig, big order. No one does this anymore, and you'll really stand out. Number 2, send a thank you gift to first-time clients to let them know you appreciate their confidence in hiring you. Me, I always send a personalized gift basket from Basketworks, available at www.basketworks.biz. Number 3, produce an email newsletter, blog, and or podcast just to keep in touch. Number 4, call clients every 6 months just because you're thinking of them. Aww. Number 5, send clients a holiday card, preferably with your photo on it, or better yet, a card at a random time of year for a non-traditional holiday, like 4th of July or Mardi Gras. Number 6, send your best clients holiday gifts, even if they're just small tokens of your appreciation. Number 7, if you have the chance, refer business, products, or just good people you know to your clients. And for goodness sake, call your web designer and make sure that your site turns up in the very first page of Google search results. So there you go, 8 tips for relationship building from The Shameless Self-Promoter, available at heidimiller.libsyn.com or the Talk It Up weblog at talkitup.typepad.com.
Thanks, Heidi. Now we're going to turn to Colleen Wainwright. She has some rules of what works in relationships, and it's all about what we can learn from building personal relationships to apply in building business relationships. Colleen?
To me, the rules for building a great client relationship are really similar for those to building a great romantic or personal relationship, with a few small exceptions we don't need to get into because this is a G-rated podcast. But seriously, people are people and relationships are relationships, and sometimes it actually helps to look at a relationship from a different framework. So without further ado, let's go through my personal list of what works in a personal relationship. And the number one thing to me is don't be needy. You want to come at any relationship from a position of strength, knowing who you are, knowing what you need, and fulfilling those needs yourself. So in terms of client relationships, that means don't put all your eggs in one basket. It puts too much pressure on the relationship to have a client be responsible for too much of your business. A diversified client base not only is great for your business from a point of financial health, but it also helps you approach every relationship from a position of strength or equal power. Which leads into my number 2 point, relationships are a two-way street. And it's very easy to forget that in client relationships because they're the ones writing the checks. And so I think a lot of times we look at those relationships as the clients having all the power. In reality, you're providing just as much of a service for them as they are for you, and it's important to remember that. Also, it's important to remember that people do grow and change and people's needs change, and it's important to look at those client relationships as they grow and evolve and make sure that they're still filling your needs as a business person or as a business as your business grows and changes. It doesn't mean you have to dump your clients. It just means you need to be aware of it and address things as they come up. However, don't address too much. That's my third rule. Don't talk about the relationship too much. There's nothing that will kill a relationship faster, as we know, than picking it apart. And with a client relationship, a business relationship, it's important, I think, not to just talk about business, not to just talk that thing to death. Yeah, you want to stay in touch with your clients, but you know, the amount of contact should be appropriate to the client relationship. And also, it doesn't always have to be about business. In fact, it's better, I think, if the bulk of it is not about business and you just take care of business when you have to. It's a much rounder, fuller, more organic type of a relationship that way. Next, don't take the other person for granted. And we all know in a long-term relationship, it's very easy for that sort of thing to happen. I think it's the same thing is true with a client relationship. It's easy to get in a rut. It's easy to remember that or think that, well, this is what this client needs from me, so I'll continue to give it to them. And that means in terms of the types of services I provide or even the types of gifts I give them every Christmas. And I'm horribly guilty of the pears every year, so I'm going to have to take a look at that. Come up with new gifts. Look at them in a fresh way. See maybe if there's some way that you can provide some added value to them that you hadn't in the past. It'll keep the relationship fresh, and it'll keep your business stretching and growing. And finally, don't rush it. Things have a way of evolving over time. You can't push them to where you want them to go. The best relationships will grow strong or not over time. It's an organic process. So don't try and rush the relationship. Enjoy the way it unfolds as it unfolds. and you'll have a much more relaxed time again with your client. You won't feel all the time like you're coming at them from a position of lack of power, but you'll be coming at it from a position as an equal, or perhaps someone who maybe knows more about relationships. What a great thing, what a great gift to give your clients. Anyway, that's me and my crazy tips for how to build client relationships. Just look at them as personal relationships. And I'd love to know what you think about it. Even if you think I'm completely nuts, drop a comment in the comment line or feel free to email me, communicatrix@gmail.com. And until next time, have a great week and a great business.
Thanks, Colleen. And thank you to all of our contributors, Steve Rusinski, Heidi Miller, Colleen Wainwright, and me, Becky McCray. And thanks to all of you for listening. We have a brand new listener line that we would like you to call. The number has changed. It's 206-666-3768. And we welcome any small business question that you may have. You can also leave your question as a comment on our website at www.gbsbs or greatbigsmallbusinessshow.com. And in fact, we have received our very first question. It came in just today as I was editing on this podcast, and that is, what's the difference between print-on-demand, self-publishing, and traditional publishing? Why would one choose one over the other? And if one wanted to go the way of traditional publishing, does one really need an agent to make that happen? We have some published authors amongst our group of 10 small business experts, and so I am really looking forward to hearing really interesting answers to all the differences between print-on-demand, self-publishing, and traditional publishing. We will be taking a swing at that question next week. And our topic for the focus of our show next week will also be presentation skills and communication. I hope you'll take time next week to join us once again for another episode of The Great Big Small Business Show. Thank you.